You're listening to Real Women Courageous Wisdom, hosted by Women for One truth teller, my friend and author, Kara Bradley. Real Women Courageous Wisdom is a podcast series featuring Women for One truth tellers, everyday women and kindred spirits passionate about sharing their journeys and inspiring others.
Welcome to Real Women Courageous Wisdom. Here I am once again, Kara Bradley, your host, today with Ashley Cooper, talking to me from Sweden, actually. I'm really excited to talk to Ashley. She has got an incredible story to tell and a lot of great wisdom. Welcome, Ashley. Thanks so much for being here.
Oh, thank you. It's such an honor. I'm so happy to be here. So happy.
Well, thank you for sharing your story with Women for One. You had told me that you were one of the early truth tellers.
Yeah, actually, Women for One was, I think, one of the first two places that I actually first shared my story. So it really holds a special place in my heart to have been given that platform and to be able to share my heart so openly was such a gift then and now still.
Yeah, so many women feel that way, including myself, that, you know, the moment you hit send and your story is out there, it's both liberating and terrifying.
Yeah. I think it's more terrifying than liberating at first, and then the liberation comes after.
That's right. Can you tell us a little bit about that experience when you first submitted?
Sure. Yeah. Well, it's actually part of the story that I don't tell so much. But basically what had happened was I had struggled a lot when I was younger with suicide attempts and depression and bullying. And it started at a very young age when I was 8 years old, which was the first time I tried to take my life. And from that age, I made a promise to myself that I would make it out alive so I could help other people. Now the journey was long. I didn't heal right at eight. There was a lot of years of, you know, picking myself up and falling down. You know, that classic, you know, you get knocked down seven times, stand up eight, but it was more like get knocked down 799, get up the 800. But actually the catalyst for me telling my story was, when I was about 30, I'm almost 36 now. So I think it's about when I was 32. And I just had this, something within me was really just knowing that it was my time to tell my story, but I was still holding on to it out of fear of being judged, mm-hmm. judging myself, feeling I was alone in the whole thing. And at that time, I was actually away in Sweden. I'm Canadian, but I live in Sweden part-time. And my boyfriend and I, it was around Christmas time, and I'm almost going to cry talking about it, actually, because it's very emotional for me. But I was looking on the computer, and I had just been debating coming out with my story the night before. And I read on the news feed, and it was crazy that three people back home who I didn't know personally, a couple of them I'd met, but three people back home had taken their lives. And it made me so ashamed because I had promised myself when I was eight that I was going to share my story to help other people, and I hadn't done it yet. And I kind of had that feeling like, God, maybe if I'd shared my story earlier, maybe that could have reached someone. Maybe they would have been helped in knowing they weren't alone. So that was the massive catalyst to pushing me over the edge to sharing my story at that time. And the incredible thing was, actually, first I shared it on my Facebook newsfeed, and I remember just posting it, and then I, like, mass exodus. I didn't even go back and check my feed for, like, 2 days. I was so petrified. But by the time I came back, it was incredible. All the people that had written me, not just on my wall, but personally, saying, thank you for telling me your story, because I, too, you know, have suffered. And so many people that I didn't expect, and so many people were like, you were the happiest person I knew. How did I not know? And so, you know, so many people suffer in silence. My thought has really expanded beyond that too, because so many of us are just suffering in general, you know, overwhelmed, stress, anxiety. I was reading the other day that 1 in 3 Americans are dissatisfied with their lives. I mean, what kind of suffering isn't that? So I think, you know, with the work that you guys do, with the work that you're doing, you know, sharing your story isn't just about liberating yourself. It's about liberating others. Mm. So,
wow. Thank you for that. That was a really powerful. It so vivid. You know, I could sense just even in my own body how you must have felt to hear about, you know, those three suicides. Mm-hmm. And suicide is so close to so many of us, you know. Mm-hmm. That to share our stories, you're so right. It does liberate people. And women especially, you know, I mean, we all need to share, women and men, but I feel like, you know, we live so much more at the edge of our seats in certain ways, you know, with our hearts on our sleeves, but yet we still try to cover up the heart. And where if we just opened up our doors and, you know, I remember somebody walked in my house once, somebody that I work with, and she's like, "Oh, thank God you're like the rest of us," you know, with like my mudroom a mess and my kitchen a mess, you know, but really, I mean, she was so relieved to know that my house wasn't perfectly tidy. And I think that, you know, if we all just kind of, you know, took off the veils a little bit, boy, how would that help people? You know, I wonder.
Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, none of us are perfectly tidy on the inside. Most of us are just figuring stuff out, you know. And I think, you know, that's why I really became a real advocate for embracing pain rather than resisting it as a form of transformation, and just saying, okay, I stand with my thoughts. I stand with my beliefs. I acknowledge them. And in the acknowledgement isn't dwelling in it, but actually in the acknowledgement, we're actually releasing ourselves from that pain. Mm. And just facing it and saying, okay, this is me. It's all of me. This is who I am. And it's okay. And it's okay. All okay. And it's all beautiful.
That's right. It's all the human experience. At the end of the day, who wants just a, you know, it's like, I always go back to the Truman Show. Do you remember that movie?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that movie had such an impact on me because it was like, who wants to have sun every day? You know, really? Yeah. I mean, this is like, you know, after a while he was like, wait a second, there's something wrong with this picture. Mm-hmm. But for everyone listening, what Ashley's not telling you is that yet, but I will tell you, is that she has really an extraordinary website that is incredibly positive. I was just so struck when I went on it, the lightness, the brightness, yet the truth of the words that she has down on the page. Her website is ashley-cooper.com. And Ashley has many, many great little tidbits for you on the site. But what was really fascinating to me was your Pain to Power program. Oh, I was really fascinated by what I read. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. Yeah. Well, I can, I think probably to understand the full extent of what the program is, I can kind of tell you how I came to creating this method kind of. So I've already said basically, you know, that I used to struggle with depression and suicide attempts. And it was when I was about 25 years old, I'd kind of tried everything, you know. So when I was about 10 years old, I started studying self-help and I was writing my own philosophy and I was really trying to find my way through everything. But by the time I was 25 years old, I kind of felt like I'd picked myself up and I just got knocked down again by an unforeseeable circumstance in my life. And I was once again sitting there wanting to take my life, questioning everything, kind of just saying, you know, why, God, why? All I want to do is help people. All I want to do is get out of this. And yet here I am again on my knees. And I just, you know, just help me find my way out. And so I realized that in all of that, the thing that I was lacking was faith in myself and a real connection and trust in who I was as a person, trust that I could make it through, trust in knowing myself. So I decided to do the thing that scared me most in the world. I'd never flown before, and I'd never really traveled before. And I decided I'm going to go travel and follow my soul for a year and a half. So I gave up everything, and I met a waitress who was afraid to fly, and that was my first indication of where I was going to go. So I bought a one-way ticket to Australia, and I just, the whole, like, on the plane there, I was just like, okay, I think my fingerprints are still in that, like, armrest, because I was just clinging on for dear life.
And that's not just, like, a one-hour flight.
it was a long time to think about what kind of mistake I was making.
Wow.
But I just said, you know, this is my year of fear or faith, and every time I had fear, then I would lean into faith. And the whole thing culminated into a 21-day vow of silence I did in Southeast Asia, where I was finally confronted with everything that I'd been running from my whole life. And my last thought I think it was 7 days into the vow of silence, and my last thought was, I'm finally gone insane, and my parents are going to have to come and get me from a Thai mental institution. Because I was just forced to sit there. It was like the victim and the victor were just sitting, like, in my mind. These personalities were fighting in my mind. It's really hard to describe, but it just, I felt like I couldn't deal with myself anymore. Mm-hmm. But when it couldn't get any worse, everything just stopped, and I had no thought. I was living in what kind of Eckhart Tolle calls the now, I figured out after. Mm-hmm. And I was in such peace and bliss, and I was filled with so much just love. It was just this state of ecstasy. And I didn't last forever. Obviously, I'm not still there now, unfortunately. But after I realized that, all I had to do was face my fear. All I had to do was sit with my pain. And instead of running away from it, I should have been running towards it and just asking it what it was there to tell me. So pain to power is basically a method I developed because I kind of thought, how can I create a roadmap back to that silence and stillness and space? And how can I help people be comfortable with their painful thoughts? So I created this whole method that's basically helping people embrace rather than avoid the pain. Cause that's like the number one thing, you know, you're having negative thoughts, experiences, beliefs, and you're so scared of it. The first thing you want to do is avoid it. So to really help people embrace their experience, to be their full power.
Yeah, I love the way you speak. You're so crystal clear. I mean, there's just it's like your website. Like I was saying, there's just a clarity and a simplicity because you experienced this yourself. You know, it just feels truly, truly real to me. And I'm sure to those listening as well. You know, the thing about being in silence, I've spent my fair share in silence as well. Is that once you experience that space in your mind, like you can never go back. Like you know it's there. Mm-hmm. It's there for every single one of us. It's mm-hmm. there always. It's just beyond the doubt, the fear, the pain. But sometimes we have to crash through it all, like you're saying, in order to be able to sit and experience that space. Yeah, Eckhart Tolle, he is my man. Mm. You know, that he calls this, you know, beautiful, spacious now.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's incredible. It's like, you know, one of the best ways I think I've come up with to describe it to people, which I think, you know, if anyone has ever gone scuba diving, I don't know if you've gone scuba diving before, but as you're descending, when you're scuba diving, the current is strongest at the top. So you're constantly getting pushed back and forth at the top. Mm. But the more you descend beyond that current, and I mean, I had the great experience of learning how to scuba dive in like the worst current that you can be in. So I really knew what this can be like. And you're just kind of getting pushed back and forth. But if you can just keep breathing and keep descending beyond the current, there's such stillness and space. Mm. And that's kind of like the space that we have all within us. If we can just descend beyond those thoughts and focus on our breath sometimes and just find that space, it's already there. It's just beyond the current that's sometimes going on through our mind, or all the time going on through our mind.
That's right. Oh, that's such a great metaphor. You know, what came to mind as you were speaking is that you don't really do things in a subtle way, do you? You kind of like take the 20-hour flight to Australia, scuba dive in the worst current possible.
Yeah. Well, that's what people say. And the thing is, I just feel like I'm a bit of an extreme case, and I don't think that everyone needs to go from a vow of silence or anything. You know, I actually think quite the opposite. It's always, I kind of had to be so radical to find that stillness, but because it was life or death for me. It was like, I really felt like I was fighting for my life because I believed in the fact that I would be sitting here with someone like you right now, hopefully touching someone listening. So I had to do the drastic things to get me out of my comfort zone so I could have faith in myself.
Mm. Yes, well said. And, you know, there is this quiet life of desperation that so many people, you know, who may have the house and the car and the 2.5 kids and, you know, the whole American dream, but there's this quiet, just this quiet hum of desperation that many, many, most people, you know, it's kind of knocking at the door. And so what you're saying, which I just love that you're just naming it, is, you know, you've got to lean in and face the pain, even if you don't think you have any pain, because a lot of us, it's like, no, my life is great. But once you get quiet, as you know, all of a sudden, all this stuff starts to surface, the stuff that just kind of muddies the waters a little bit, don't you think?
100%. And I think, you know, as women, you know, we wear so many hats. So many women have such guilt of taking time for themselves or doing, you know, and that is a source of suffering as well. When you think that, you know, doing something for yourself, doing an act of self-love is, you know, feeling guilty or that it's selfish, when really one of the greatest gifts that us as women can do is actually give to ourselves, because then we can actually overflow and give to others. And I think that's one of the saddest things, because we as women, when we can tap into that space in our heart and actually give nurturing to ourselves and be our own mother and give that, we can birth a new part of ourselves into the world that is so beautiful. And I think, you know, so many women should just honor themselves and give themselves that gift, because we all deserve it.
Yeah. I have to tell you, that's probably the most common thread amongst all these podcasts. Every woman that I interview from all different walks of life with different perspectives on this game we call life, everyone says the same thing. Everybody, you know, whether it's taking time to nurture your garden or taking time to dress yourself in a way that inspires you, right? Mm-hmm. To make yourself feel beautiful or to take time to be quiet. Like, what are we all doing? You know, where we do have the time, right? We do have, we can't not take care of ourselves, really.
And even taking the time to, you know, give yourself a compliment rather than criticize yourself when you're walking past a mirror, you know, just taking that time to, and that's what I mean more, you know, pain to power is really about the thoughts we're thinking, the emotions we're feeling, the beliefs we have. And if you're walking past a mirror and thinking gray hairs and wrinkles and fat and cellulite, then that's a belief that needs to be examined, because we're all so beautiful. I've never met someone, especially since I found, you know, I used to have so much jealousy when I hated myself. But once I started loving myself, I just see, I mean, I've never felt more beautiful. Now I'm like getting my gray hair coming in and, you know, but I rock my wrinkles and my pictures. I'm not like photoshopping, you know, but it's just, I see so much beauty around me and in myself, but it took standing with the idea that, God, maybe I don't love myself as much as I should. Yeah. And maybe in fact, I'm deserving and worthy of love so great that I can't even imagine.
I think that's a great word that you just brought up, was worthy. You know, it's the unworthiness that we hold and we kind of carry around like a badge a lot of times, you know, that all being self-deprecating and joking around, but that sense of unworthiness where if we could just pause and turn it around and think about what am I worthy of? What am I worthy of in this life of mine? It's a great point. Really great point. I'd love to hear a little bit more about the structure of your program. I'm really curious. So what do you do with people to help them bring their pain into power?
Well, I've got it's six steps. So there's always six steps that people are going through. Or, I mean, of course, there's so many different methods and ways. I'm not saying mine's the only way. But awareness is always the first step. So I'm always saying to people, you have to become aware. You know, if you're not aware of what you need to change, then you cannot change it, you know. But what happens usually is when you bring light onto the darkness, people get scared and they don't know what to do. And that's when we go into the autopilot of avoidance and we're overindulging in things, you know, that might not otherwise be bad, but overindulging in social media. And then on the other extreme is like overeating, you know, binge drinking, smoking. So there's different extremes, but it's, all of those things exist. When we're overindulging in those things, it's because we're avoiding something within ourselves. So always the first step is awareness. And I get people to just be comfortable in knowing that it's actually when we can raise awareness around it and we can harness the power of our choice. Our right to choose in any moment of every day, whether or not we want to lean into our pain or whether or not we want to lean into our power, it's always a choice. And even if we make a mistake, or even if, you know, you get into the middle of the day and you're like, oh, what have I done? You know, like maybe you're going back for another cigarette, or you're getting back into social media, or maybe you've treated someone maybe not in the best way, or yourself. All you have to do is stop and create enough space and make a new choice. But yeah, so I just help people examine their thoughts, their beliefs, And I created a mind, body, spirit approach. So what I just talked about is the very basic first step. Mm-hmm. I actually broke everything down into 35 steps. So even awareness, I've broken down into five more steps. Yeah. But harnessing the power of our mind, body, spirit, even our physiology. So if someone's feeling unworthy, how do you hold your body when you're unworthy? How do you feel? What are your shoulders doing? What's your head doing? How do you use your face? And sometimes just creating enough awareness to realize that's what you're doing and then changing your physiology, you can actually really begin to empower yourself. That's almost an instantaneous way of getting yourself out of pain and into power. Mm-hmm. So I really just, you know, facilitate other people to help themselves. So it's really me not doing anything. It's a process of self-inquiry, mm-hmm. Just to get people to ask themselves the right question and just investigate what they think and what they do and what their habits are and where they could make new choices.
Excellent. Sounds incredibly inspiring, to say the least. Well, thank you so much for being with us. I know I've enjoyed it, and I hope all of you listening have as well. Remember that you can find Ashley online at ashley-cooper.com and on Facebook and Twitter, right?
Yes, yeah. I'm all over Ashley Cooper, usually Ashley Cooper XO, but you can find it all on my website as well.
Yeah, I love it. And boy, what a great connection. I'm so pleased to have had this conversation with you. Thank you so much for being here.
And thank you. I want to take the opportunity to thank you as well and Women for One for, you know, everything you're doing to help and empower women, and for helping me get my story out, not just the first time, but now as well. And I thank everyone for listening as well, for being here and being present and saying yes to themselves, because that's the most important thing.
Well, and I guess finally, I'd like to say thank you for, you know, making that step, that hard step that you did a few years back when you finally said, you know, I've got to do this. I've got to get the word out and help other people. So I'm so glad you did that.
Thank you so much. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to Women for One's podcast series, Real Women, Courageous Wisdom. If you like what you just heard, we hope you will subscribe to our podcast on iTunes and leave a review. If you're interested in becoming a Women for One truth teller, visit womenforone.com to learn more. For more information about our host, Kara Bradley, visit her site, karabradley.net. Join us next time for another enlightening conversation with powerful, everyday women.